Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, the focus of our message today is on Mark chapter 13, just highlighting this verse. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. The gospel must be preached. So it would probably best be described as the penultimate scene of the sequence, the penultimate scene sequence of the movie. And I'm talking about the sequence of scenes depicting the three tests Indiana Jones must persevere if he is to reach the goal of his quest, the discovery of the Holy Grail. Some of you have been around long enough to know, or maybe have seen it from a movie from before your time, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And if you're not familiar with the, what is it, 5-film series over a span of, 40 years, something like that, Indiana Jones is an ancient history professor, but on occasion he is an intrepid adventurer searching after lost or hidden antiquities. For example, in the first film, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he is going after the lost Ark of the Covenant. And of course he finds it and ends up hiding it in some warehouse somewhere off. Well, I think we find out in number 4 that it's in New Mexico. But anyway, in the third film, The Last Crusade, he's in search of this Holy Grail, which is the mythical name for the original cup that Jesus used to institute the Lord's Supper. Now, without going into a whole lot of Holy Grail history, myth, and legend, and the Holy Grail is definitely not what the scriptures call it. It's just a cup. And miraculously, it held his body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine, as we heard about in Bible class today. But while referenced countless times in the words of institution ever since, the actual cup, of course, has long been lost. And that's kind of the point, because any cup will do. In the film, however, Indiana Jones has to find that original cup in order to save his father from certain death. And as the sequence opens, Indiana has to go through 3 life-threatening tests in order to enter the cave where the cup has been hidden since the time of the Crusades. Now, to get through the first test, he has to kneel and then roll in genuflection like he's kneeling to avoid being killed. The second test, he must proceed only in the footsteps of God. And as he looks across the floor, there are letters all over the place, and he's trying to think how he is supposed to see the name of God. And he thinks of the original Hebrew tetragrammaton, the Yod Heh Vav Heh, which some pronounce as, we don't know exactly how it was pronounced originally, it was too sacred to say. So it was either Yahweh, or as we have come to know it, Yehovah or Jehovah. And it's a somewhat comical scene as he takes his first step and steps on the J and starts to go through the floor. And he remembers, oh, there's no J in Latin, it's the I. So Yehovah, and he makes his way across the floor to get there. And there he is, sort of carefully, dizzingly picking his way, stepping on the word of God. I think sometimes as we leave those doors out there, don't you feel that way a little bit? I mean, like, you know, you're in here and you hear everybody singing and you hear the word of the God and you're upbeat and you're strong and you're feeling good about things and you step out that door into the chaos, into the sin, into the uncertainties, and all of a sudden, instead of boldly stepping out, we're carefully trying to figure out how to make our way through life without causing too many problems, without drawing too much attention to ourselves, without making mistakes that would leave us falling to our, call it social death, by saying things that we feel might draw attention to ourselves, this melee that we go out into. We walk out those doors, and Jesus described it as wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and persecutions. We step out those doors into our schools and our workplaces and our social forays and personal relationships into the chaos of a sin-filled world. More than 500 years ago, in April of 1521, Martin Luther made his way to appear before an imperial diet at Germany, the city of Worms. To those closest to Luther, he kind of looked a bit like Indiana Jones, slowly, carefully picking his way as he got closer and closer, not quite sure what to say, how to say it, but wanting nothing more than to step precariously from stone to stone on the name of Christ. For 3 years, he had defended and debated his 95 theses, the thing that kind of first drew attention. He was pointing out abuses within the church. He was talking about free forgiveness. And it so caught fire, as if you will, that it gets sent all over Northern Europe. And here Luther is now the one who's on trial for what he wrote, for the things that he was saying, for standing up for by grace alone. And the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, I mean, he'd only been a few weeks on the throne when all of this happened. He too considered himself to be a committed Christian. And he was looking at the practices and teachings of the church, and he didn't want anything to change. And so here you have Luther, who said, I don't want to start a new church, I just want the truth of Scripture. And you have a man who is committed to the church and not wanting to change anything, and the two met, and it came to blows, if you will, at the Diet of Worms. In kind of a politically savvy move, the emperor summoned Luther and invited him to share his somewhat sarcastically called Lutheran teachings. Safe passage was guaranteed, and a hearing was impending. And yet to those closest to Luther, they warned him not to go. You see, only a few decades earlier, a guy by the name of Jan Hus had also been guaranteed safe passage to talk about his teachings, and he ended up burned at the stake. While traveling to the meeting, Luther battled high fever and several sicknesses. When he arrived, there were throngs of people cheering for him, relying on his every word, and yet he didn't even know what he was going to say. His prince, Duke Frederick, when he saw Luther step into the courtroom for the first time, he was not impressed by his words or his demeanor. And that night, as Luther considered how he was going to respond to the emperor's demand, was he going to admit his heresy? Was he going to take it back, his works? It became clear how solidly he stood on the word of God. In fact, Luther's friends used the very words of our gospel reading for today to encourage him. He had turned to the Lord and his word, and he found by grace alone. And he knew that that is what God's people, what the world needed to hear. And he was determined to do it. But you can imagine feeling like you've just been asked one of the toughest trivia questions and you have no idea what the answer is. What are you going to say? And yet you have to give an answer. Again, the words of our text, people will hand you over to councils and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand what you should say. Say whatever is given to you in that hour, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit. With that comfort, with that promise, Luther walked into the courtroom the next day. And when he was once again asked if he would recant his works, here is what he said. Since then, your serene majesty and your lordship seek a simple answer, I will give it in this manner, neither horned nor toothed, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the scriptures. I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot, and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience.
I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen. As one author puts it, Luther simply could have just said no. But then he was a preacher and a teacher. Couldn't have just gotten away with just no. See, his statement points to the solid gospel proclamation, a stance centered on the word of God. See, be it apostles before kings, Luther before the emperor, or you and me before a lost soul, we have the words to say. They are all right here because of the experience we have had with Christ, his life-saving work of the gospel in our own hearts and lives. We don't need to fear. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to wonder. We don't need to compromise our faith. We don't need to figure out a way to save our own skin when we're out there. By grace, through faith, in here and out there, we stand on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. It's interesting to note, if you go back to the movie for just a second, that third test for Indiana Jones is literally a leap of faith. So he walks on the letters for Yehovah, and he gets across, and then he gets through that one, and then he's standing on what looks like a bottomless ravine. And he's got to make a leap of faith that's, you know, probably 30 feet across. Like, there's no way he's going to make it. He can try all he wants, but he's never going to get there. Isn't that the picture of us, too? We can't get there. We can't make the leap. We can't be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It is only Christ who has made us perfect. It is only Christ who has done what we could not do, who has paid the price that we could not pay, who's lived the perfect life that we couldn't, and then gives it all to us by grace through faith. And in the movie, when Indiana steps out in faith, what's there but a stone arch that had been built but was an optical illusion and he couldn't see it? It's when he stepped out in faith that he was supported. That's us. As we go out there into the world, as we go out into the chaos, as we witness to lost souls and share the hope that we have, we do so in faith, walking on the solid ground of Christ. Doesn't require solid walls even to do it. Just the solid rock of Christ, that we may boldly be God's witnesses to his saving goodness in Christ Jesus. We sing of it, this cornerstone, this solid ground. Here in the love of Christ, we stand, we live, we witness in thanksgiving for his goodness to us in Christ. We cannot do otherwise. God help us. Amen.